Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour. Driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
And a great big good morning to you all. Welcome to my house, Rosie on the House. We've thrown the doors wide open. Come on in, pour yourself a cup of coffee, and we are your Arizona homeowners weekend wake-up call, a 30-year tradition of bringing you great information, great stories, and boy, have we got one for you now. A couple special guests here in studio. I'd like to start first with Executive Director, Mrs. Michelle DeMuro of the Veterans Heritage Project. Ms. Michelle, thank you for coming in this morning.
Oh, thank you for having us.
And tell me a little bit. I know we've had the Veterans Heritage Program on before, but let's update the homeowners. Who are y'all? What do y'all do?
Well, we are an Arizona nonprofit, and we operate a character education program in middle schools, high schools, and community colleges. We are in about 30 schools across the state where our students are interviewing veterans and recording their stories of service and honoring them by writing their stories, publishing them in a book called Since You Asked, presenting that book to them at the end of the school year in a big free community event, and also sharing their interview footage with the Library of Congress.
You've got to tell the story of how this all started. That's a great story.
It is. It is. So Barbara Hatch is our founder. She was a high school AP history teacher. And back in 1998, a student asked her about the movie Saving Private Ryan and how real was that movie. And she said, well, let's write to our veterans. And we reached out to the VFW and asked veterans to come in and tell us about their own personal experiences. And so that continued throughout the years. And in 2004, Salt River Project was funding local history projects. And the students said, let's do this and let's do it with our veterans. And Barbara, also having been the yearbook advisor, had the background for that.
Put one and one together.
Put them together. And they said, let's record our veterans' stories. Let's publish them in a book. And an SRP helped fund that very first book.
And y'all have been publishing the book Since You Asked.
Yes.
Is the name of the book.
Yep.
It's an annual publication. And y'all been publishing for 13, 14 years?
We're actually in the middle of our 16th edition.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's pretty exciting. And then in 2004, 2005 school year was the first year we did that. And there was such encouragement from the community and from the veterans and the parents and the impact that they saw. They said, we need to get this to more schools. So how do we do that? And so in 2009 is when we became a nonprofit in order
okay.
to bring it to more schools.
All right. So are you looking for more schools to get involved?
We are. We're actually at capacity right now. We can only work with about 30 schools. We have a waiting list.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And so we're trying to raise funds so that we can increase our resources, our support staff, our technology, those types of things, so we can work with those schools who want to bring our program to them.
The mission statement, as I understand it, is connecting students with veterans in order to honor veterans, preserve history, and develop future leaders.
Correct.
That's awesome. How are y'all funded? 501c3?
Yep, we're a 501c3, so we're dependent upon, you know, community contributions, grants, individual contributions. We ask our school partners to help publish the student's work, the veteran's story in the book, and they can do that through charitable tax credit donations through the school chapters, through each school.
Okay.
But then also we are holding a special event called Saluting Stories of Service, where we'll be raising funds to kind of help build our capacity.
An annual fundraising banquet.
Right.
Fantastic. Veterans Heritage Project, the website?
VeteransHeritage.org.
VeteransHeritage.org. Mm-hmm. Connecting school-age students, that's 7th grade to senior?
Yes, as well as we have a partnership with Maricopa Community Colleges, and we also have our very first chapter at ASU this year.
Connecting with veterans. Well, we're about ready to connect with another special guest, an incredible veteran with an absolutely incredible, almost unspeakable biography. I'd like to introduce United States Air Force Colonel Thomas H. Kirk. Colonel Kirk, I can't thank you enough to taking your personal time to come join us.
Thank you, Rosie. I appreciate being here.
Tell us just real quick how Veterans Heritage Project found you.
Well, I think Veterans Heritage Project found me because I am a real advocate for veterans. If there's anything I'm doing with the rest of my life is trying to get with organizations, make talks, be around people, and contribute to anything that will better make the lives and the future of veterans after serving our country.
That's a big life mission, Colonel.
I'm kind of a ham, Rosie. I'll go anywhere, anytime, and speak to any group for the case or the story of what veterans mean to this country. And everything I believe in is led by the word service. The operative word is service to this country. And it's not a small thing. It's a giant thing to me to think of the hundreds of thousands, even millions, who have answered the call, left home, left family, not knowing when or if they'd ever get back, put on a uniform, go anywhere they're told, do any job they're told to support this wonderful country. And so many down through the years, so many thousand have made the supreme sacrifice for guys like me. I chose to be a military guy and loved it, 28 years in the service, and loved it. But I had a lot of young men die that were in my squadron in Vietnam, and I was one of those that was blessed to come home, but a very unfortunate day in 1967.
Yeah, we want to go into that. Colonel Kirk has won the Veteran Heritage Project's Storyteller Award of the Year for this year. He'll be presenting at the annual banquet, and we're going to talk a little bit about a particular special auction item that's going to be offered at that banquet, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Colonel Kirk, you were talking about the legions of young men and women signing up to serve this country. Why do they do it?
Many of them do it for a simple change of life. They see and know what's happening in the country at any point in our history, and they see that things have been and are so good for Americans, and they are told from the lowest level of school up until everything every day in the news, the benefits, the privileges, and what it is to be an American, and what we've learned and gained, and what we've struggled to do to produce the freest country in the history of mankind, certainly the greatest country in the history of mankind. And I believe most young people feel an innate desire to help, to serve, to make it better, if you will. And going into the military is the ultimate way to do that, because once you sign your name on a line, you effectively sign a check to the federal government up to the amount of your life. And that's pretty heavy when you think about it. And I think that my experiences with Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines, the same kind of people are in all these organizations, just good, solid American people who realize the greatness of this country. They want to help make it stay that way and fight our enemies.
Well, I had two son-in-laws within days of 9/11. One left the banking industry, went straight in the Army. He was in Army Reserve and went full time. And my other son-in-law left the home inspection business and went straight into the Marines. That was their trigger mechanism.
Absolutely.
It was the rallying call.
Yep, the rallying call.
Well, I've heard one of your presentations to students, and you said it's magical to be American. And that's poetry.
Yes, but it's so true. One of the biggest things that bother me today is I fear that the word and the spirit of patriotism and for patriotic people is sort of suppressed. And it shouldn't be. My wife and I, she will back me up 100%. Every day is the 4th of July to me. It's only when you have lost this freedom do you really begin to understand the value of it in our lives, in our lives, and in our country.
And boy, it doesn't take long to travel abroad. And you spent, what, 25 years in Europe?
Almost, not quite. I spent a lot of time in the Far East, too, especially the prison camp. But a lot in Europe and a lot in the Far East. And I actually served in 13 countries. And in every way I've ever been, I love Italy, for example. But I realize full well that it can't hold a candle to what we have in true freedoms and opportunities in this great country.
And you grew up where?
I grew up in Virginia.
Norfolk?
No, Portsmouth, right across the river. You're okay. Right across the river, yeah.
All right. Well, that's a pretty patriotic place to be right there. Watching that port can make you tear up pretty quick.
That's the home of the Atlantic Fleet, no question about it. My dad worked for 38 years there in the Navy Yard, and during, between my junior and, I'm sorry, my sophomore and junior year in high school, I helped build the battleship Alabama right there in that Navy Yard.
Man, now that's a piece of history right there. But the next thing I want to go to is your story. You are the Storyteller Award winner this year for the Veterans Heritage Project. And folks, get your napkins, get your Kleenexes, settle back in your chair. This is one of the most awe-inspiring, jaw-dropping, reverent stories you've ever heard from any veteran you've ever met. And you're meeting them right here at my house. And it's my honor to introduce you and for you to get to know him. It's Colonel Thomas H. Kirk, United States Air Force.
Thank you, Rosie.